It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It's always a good day when I can step out into the studio and connect with an interesting person, this one from my past. I actually met Jeff when we were working for a hot second for an internet radio station here in San Diego, and instantly liked the guy because he's a music dude. And if you know anything about me, I'm a music girl. So Jeff Classic Popka. He develops, he hosts, he promotes all kinds of music shows and events. He's the curator of the Texas Indie Fest in Austin, which I believe is like would have been in its 10th year if this COVID-19 thing wouldn't have happened. He's just a really cool dude, and he posted something on Facebook, and he was looking or talking with somebody and kind of asking about death paranormal things. And I'm like, hello, Jeff, I have a show all about this. And so one thing led to another, and I asked him to come on the show. So here he is today. He is going to come on the show, and we're going to talk about all kinds of wacky stuff. Welcome to the show, Jeff Classic Popka. How are you?
I am good, Jane. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, it's just a very weird time on the planet. And, you know, but as I keep thinking, I'm like, you know, I'm okay. You know, my family is okay. No one that I know personally has been affected, and all we're being asked to do is be cool and sit on our butts and stay home so that we can keep other people safe. So I feel very fortunate, but you know, it's affected so many people, and it's just been really a tragic state of affairs for not just our country, but for our world. So that being said, I love the chance to talk to interesting individuals about what they're going through and what they're doing. So talk to me about how does a music guy get involved with the paranormal side of things? Where did that come from?
Okay. So, I mean, in all seriousness, would have to go like way back.
Okay.
When I was really young, I always had these experiences that, it always seemed a little strange to me, you know, and most of them I kept to myself. I would not tell anybody anything. And that was from growing up, you know. I was a really good kid, you know. When I became a teenager, I wasn't so good. I was a lot of fun, but I wasn't so good. And then, and as things kind of grew in my life and I became more established, I accomplished a lot of things at a younger age, getting my degree in restaurant hotel management and working in the restaurant business. I really moved up fast. I became a GM in my 20s. I was making over $50,000 a year back then.
It's a lot of money back in the day.
Yeah, I drove a Camaro. I was arrogant. So I kept a lot of things to myself. I didn't. There's a part of me that I didn't show.
Right.
I can go back to when I was very young. Younger than five. I had to be around three or four. I was playing at my grandmother's house on the floor with my cars, and all of a sudden I heard this big stomp. I mean, just what it sounded like, someone taking a big step.
Mm-hmm.
I looked to my left, and I saw a foot in the heat register.
Wow.
It was like there. I know I saw it. I did jump up, and I remember running to into my room where my mom was at, and I told her. But then I never said anything about it, and I never talked to my grandma about it until she was in her late 80s. We were having a conversation. She goes, you know that house that we used to live in Schererville, Indiana? She goes, I used to hear footsteps in there all the time.
No.
Yeah, she goes, I would think it was your grandpa coming home because he worked shift work at the steel mill. And she goes, I used to think it was him coming home. I'd be like, why is he home so early? And then there'd be nobody there. And she's telling me this.
Wow.
I'm sitting here thinking, the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Steps? The foot. So I told her that, and she just kind of looked at me, and I'm like, it's one of my earliest memories.
Wow.
And then last week, I was talking to my mom, and we were talking about the paranormal thing because I'm going to do this podcast. And she goes, "Do you know when you were really young that you ran to me and told me about you saw a foot in the register?"
Wow.
And I'm like, "Yeah, but I didn't know you remembered that or thought anything of it." She goes, "No, you were like adamant about it." Hmm. You know? And so that was like my earliest thing. And then when I was a little older, I was 13, one of my friends passed away. And I was supposed to be with him the night that he actually died. But my grandparents came, picked me up. They said, "Hey, let's go downtown Chicago. We're going to go to his tower and all this stuff." And I'm like, "Dude, I'm not coming over. I'm going to go with my grandparents instead." He ended up dying that night.
What happened? He was 13.
13. He broke into his neighbor's house and drank a bunch of whiskey.
Oh, no.
And then he choked on his vomit.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, that's just
horrible. Yeah. And I felt guilty as hell.
Oh, of course. Survivor's guilt.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, he wouldn't have done that if I was there. Number one, he wouldn't have broken into the neighbor's house.
Right.
I wouldn't have stood for that. And then number two, if we were drinking, at least I would have drank half of it. He wouldn't have drank.
That's a good point. Yeah. Or if he did get sick, you would have been there to hold his head and help him out. And yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that, yeah.
Wow.
That was a real first, you know, or someone I was close to passed away.
What's his name?
And his name's Rick Rosing.
Rick. Hmm. Yep. Do you ever talk to him? Do you ever have conversations with him?
I had a very vivid dream with him just probably months after that.
Okay. Dream. If you can still remember it, it was a visitation.
Yes. And that's exactly, it was like my first experience with that. Because I'm like, "Rick, what are you doing here in the dream?" Hmm. And he's riding his bike. He's like, "I'm riding my bike. I can still do this. We can still do this. Let's play. Let's hang out."
Oh, my gosh.
It was very real and very vivid. And I never told anybody. Not at that age. Hmm. I wasn't about to tell my other friends or nothing. I just kept it to myself.
Well, he probably wanted you to know that he was okay. Sort of,
and
like, you know.
That's how I took it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, and I think that was my first experience with a dreamlike visit. When later on, fast forward out of college, I'd worked for one restaurant company for 10 years. Then I had a friend and his mom talk me into moving the family to Florida and running a bar on the beach with them, a restaurant and a bar. And there was a restaurant before that I worked at down there that they got me to help this guy run it because he was losing it and wanted me to try and save it for him. I was good at what I did. I really was.
You still are?
I still don't do the restaurant stuff, though.
Yeah.
No. I'm all music now. forget all that work.
All music and now all paranormal.
Yeah. So anyway, when I first went down to Fort Myers, I was working at this pizza restaurant. It was actually a Chicago-based chain, and it was their first one outside in Chicago, and it was called Eduardo's. And so I'm trying to save this restaurant for this guy, but it just wasn't happening. And then there was all these things that kept happening after close when no one else was around. I'd be the only person in there. The place would be locked up. Half the lights would be out. And there'd be, like, feel breath in the back of my neck.
Ooh.
Ice cold.
Ooh.
When I felt it, I had just turned the air conditioning off. And I was facing the air conditioning thing. And there was, I was behind the bar. And there, I could just feel this. It just felt like,
man,
so cold. And all the hair on my arms just stood up, and I was like, "I'm not going to look in the mirror. I'm just going to leave." And I took off out of there.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and then the next couple days, and I started telling people, like, you know, it's a little weird here at night. And so then I kept keeping an employee with me at Kohl's because I was just kind of weirded out.
Yeah.
And we just kept experiencing more and more things. There was lights going on and off.
Yeah.
There was one time his wife and him were in there with me at close, and she went to go to the bathroom, and she goes, when she comes back, she goes, "You guys turn the lights off on me?" We're like, "No, we didn't. We were sitting right here." And she goes, "I was sitting in there and the light went off on me." And I go, "Well, if someone hit the fuse, it would be all the lights there. It wouldn't just be, you know, that bathroom." So then she opened the door. She goes, "Yeah, I went in there, and then the light was off." She goes, "See, it's off again." And then she closed the door. We opened it, and then the light was on.
Man.
And it was off. So that was one thing. And then there was a helium tank that, which you had to push it down to get it to release helium. It did that on its own. And then we heard this big commotion in the kitchen one night, and there was three tea urns. Also, they were in the middle of the floor, lined up perfectly.
Oh man.
Nobody else there. There's nobody.
So these things have occurred most of your life. And
yes.
You obviously must take time to ponder and think, why me? Or what is it? You know, why am I able to connect on this other level? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it was really, at first, it was just, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what to think because I would never really talk about that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, you don't want people to think you're crazy and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I had a lot of good business stuff going on, and I was like successful at a young age, and I wasn't going to do anything to make me look out of the normal. You know, I didn't want anything to change. But when we were down there, I had another dream, and this dream was my uncle that had passed away that I was close with, and my great uncle, and he was talking to me, because I was concerned at that time because we had sold the one bar that we were running, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. We were far away from our family, and we were in Fort Myers, Florida. We had three little kids. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I kept getting, like, these feelings that it was time to go home, you know, go home. And I'm like, but I'm not going to make the money that I'm making here if I go back there. And I had this dream with my uncle. He was visiting me, and he was telling me everything's going to be all right. You don't have to worry about money. And all of a sudden, this angel appears in my dream. So this angel, and she was a sweet-looking young female. I mean, she looked so cute. And I'm like, oh, aren't you so nice? I remember talking to her. I go, oh, aren't you? You're so nice. And she grabbed me by the throat and just was like choking me.
What?
Just go home.
Whoa.
Just go home. Don't worry about money. And that woke me up, and I was in sweats. And I told my wife the next day, I go, we're moving back home.
Whoa.
And we did.
Dang.
Man, I didn't know what I was going to do. I went there, and within 2 weeks, I was working for the county. I was running a commissioner's campaign. Everything just fell into place. And we won this big election that I ran the campaign. It was in a Republican area, and we were Democrats. And he ended up holding that seat for 20 years. And I was with him for three of the five terms. It's before I went to California. And we stayed. One of my rewards for winning was I was given the Lake County Fairgrounds to run, which was a fairgrounds. They had fairs there and different events, a lot of music stuff. And that's where I learned my chops on events, some music events, and met a lot of people. I became very powerful in that area. And I was the guy, if someone got a DUI or got in trouble or got a ticket, I could take care of things. I could line things up. I could arrange business. And here I was, you know, this powerful, successful young man still, and I was arrogant, and we had all these crazy things going on at that house. This property where the fairgrounds sat on was 90-some acres. It had a lake. It had 20-some physical structures that we rented out for different events year-round. I hired all the police that worked there on side jobs. So a lot of police officers worked for me. We were given a house. I was given a vehicle that was fully police equipped. I was also given a badge, so I was a deputy sheriff. And we had, at this property, it used to be Indian property. It was the Potawatomi Indians used to have it. President Andrew Jackson had given that property to an Indian princess named Miss Sinkugawa. Hmm. And there was all kinds of activity there. And the house was older. I mean, to the point where you'd think you see someone out of the corner of your eye, and you'd follow them around the house. And you're like, I'm thinking it's one of the kids or the dog. And you follow them around the house, and then there's nobody there. You know, wow. And it's not there. And there was things like that. My wife and I could feel someone sitting on our bed at night, and we thought one of the kids would come in. No, nobody. Just things. The animals hissing, the cat hissing at nothing. A lot of weird knocks, a lot of doors opening, a lot of lights going on and off.
So are these...
Talk about all this stuff.
Well, is this activity, this paranormal activity, these ghosts, spirits, whatever you want to refer to them, do you feel as though they are following you or that you're just drawn and you're aware? Like, for instance, they probably are everywhere, but because of people's perception or lack of belief in this type of behavior, maybe some of us just aren't aware when things happen. What do you think?
That's exactly what I think, that we're not aware when it's happening.
Okay.
I think it was happening a lot, but I was always too busy. I always had too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and I think that I needed to be a point to be able to share this stuff with people, you know, and in my lifestyle and the way I was, it wasn't happening, you know, and I was, you know, quiet about things like that. And I really wouldn't talk to it. Now, my family was experiencing it with me when we were at the fairgrounds. So, and also friends that were over was like, what the heck was that noise? And I'm like, we don't know. It's just weird things.
Yeah.
But one time my son's band was recording, and we were at the studio late, and we came back to the fairgrounds, and we were locked out of the house. And it was like, oh, crap, I didn't have my extra key. And Jen was in the basement. Our bedroom at that time was in the basement on the other end, and there was no windows. There's like a little teeny tiny window. We couldn't get to her to let us in, and it was after midnight. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden she opens the door. And I'm like, how'd you know we were here? She goes, well, you told me to come open the door. And I'm like, looking at her, I go, Jen, how could I tell you to come open the door? We're out here. And she's like, oh, my God. She goes, something woke me up and said, open the door, Jen, open the door. And she did. She opened it for us.
Whoa.
It was just totally bizarre. So, okay, all this.
Yes.
I get in this big public battle, power public battle, fighting with the commissioner. And there's all these allegations being played out in the press. And, you know, it's like a nightmare. There's a lot of pressure on me to protect my family. And so I resigned. I said, that's it. I'm done. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm done. I'm done with this one. Get my kids out of this mess, and I don't want them to grow up with these same issues. And so we ended up moving to California because I was offered a job out there as a marketing director for a real estate company, and that was in 2007. And that we moved out there in September, and the guy vanished.
Oh man!
The guy that offered me the job. He vanished. I could no longer get a hold of him once we were there. My wife and I had flown out there. I'd met with him. We talked. We lined everything up. We got there. We started looking for apartments, and we were in communication, but all of a sudden he just stopped talking. I had just like totally ghosted me, to use a term. and he just vanished. I never heard from him again. He was in San Clemente.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so we were looking for a place in Orange County, And I'm like, well, crap, man. You could spend a lot of money really fast in Orange County.
Yep.
And we were staying at hotels and, you know, we were just pouring through the money. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. I got to find a job and I don't know what we're going to do. And money started running really tight. And again, ta-da, I have a dream. I have a dream with a clear voice saying, go to Oceanside. Hmm. Go to Oceanside. And it was a vivid, just like the other dreams. So when I got up, I looked at Jen and I said, we're going to Oceanside. We moved to Oceanside. We left that day. The next day, she found a job. And that saved us from, like, going back to Indiana with nothing, you know, because we would have lost everything. And she started working right away. And then things just started falling in place again.
Wow.
And what we started working on the internet radio thing. I started researching potential hosts. And that's where the vibration and energy bug bit me, where I knew it. Because I started studying these things, and I'm talking to a lady named Kelly Ballard. We're talking about developing a show around her work, where she was into self-guided meditations and different things. This was all new to me, you know. And I was sitting here, when I was in California, I was actually still plotting my revenge to go back home. Like, I'm going to take these people out, this and that, blah, 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 when I go back. And that was my actual intentions. And everything just changed. It's like the Pacific Ocean was like this healing thing for us. We were at the beach every day. And it was just an incredible transformation.
Right.
All of a sudden, I started looking into what meditations are. So I tried doing it, and all of a sudden, I noticed the energies. I noticed things. I noticed synchronicities because I was so slowed down. Mm. But I had to be away from everything to recognize it.
Right.
So I call that just being in tune.
Right.
And that totally changed me.
Well,
I went from this vengeful guy that wanted to get back at these people that screwed us over and blah, 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 and I just said, none of that matters.
Hmm. So here you are now, and yep. I can't believe we're quickly running out of time. I mean, I'm just fascinated. So are these souls from the other side? What is your belief on what is next and what is in the next room?
That's the thing that's so cool about it, because with, you know, like those experiences at the time, they freaked me out. Because I really didn't know what was going on. But once I was able to absorb begin to awaken is what I would call it, it's very soothing me to know that. Because in my mind, I have proof that there is another dimension. And I think, and that's what I believe now, is that there's just different dimensions. And we just move from one to the next, whether it's opening a door and walking into the next room. Climbing up the rung of a ladder, I believe the Earth is a training school of sorts where people can experience good and bad, but learn from it, and then you just move on.
Hmm.
I think you just transition.
Very cool. Now, what are you going to do with all this crazy paranormal stuff? Are you're in process of developing a podcast?
Yes, we're going to do a paranormal podcast. I've got an investigator from Ohio that is a paranormal investigator. He's going to anchor the show. I'm going to co-host it with him. And we're going to explore anything paranormal where people can share their stories and tell their stories and do so in a calm way, in a way that's no pressure, no one joking at it. And, of course, being a music guy, I'm going to throw independent music in the program, too.
There you go.
I do.
I love that.
I do.
That's so cool.
Well, that's really why I pursued the music stuff, too, was all these same experiences. Just do what you love.
Yeah.
And everything. You know, that's really the message. But you have to slow down. And I think this pandemic is forcing everyone to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of awakening. through this pandemic where people are going to say, wait, you know, that's not right. What's really important?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, boy, you are definitely touching a chord here, because it really has been very eye-opening. And, you know, I'm really realizing, and I know other people, I've had conversations with many friends and family members that really are like, what is important? You know, it's the love that we make. It's the relationships that we have. It's the joy, you know, a simple rose, a walk in the park, you know, a puffy cloud, fresh air, my goodness, just, and it's these little things that are daily reminders of how blessed we are, that maybe we were taking for granted before all of this, and this kind of a cosmic timeout, so to speak, kind of like, okay, you go to your room and you sit and you think about it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think that's it. It just forces you to slow down. And when you do that, you know, your vibration is such that you're receptive to these different energies.
Yeah.
As long as you're accepting of them. And I think that's why I went through all that, was so then I could spread this vibration of calmness and everything's going to be okay to people. I really think I have that effect on them. And I'm such like a total different person than I was the first half of my life.
I love it.
Just totally transformed me.
Well, I think it's great. Good for you. And I'm happy to see that you're pursuing this. I know you're a major music guy, and I believe you'll be putting together your events again. Things are going to be very different.
Right.
Just read, you know, about the Hollywood Bowl closing down this summer, which is just, you know, tons of crazy things. But in doing so, we're sort of redefining how we connect. And, you know, music has been my go-to. I mean, I have to listen to music every day. I prefer, I listen to it when I'm on my walk. I listen to it when I'm in my studio and I'm editing or I'm posting, or, and I have soundtracks that I make depending on, like I have a soundtrack for death. It's called The Next Room. And it's all my favorite songs about death, dying, grief, loss, goodbyes, whatever it is. And it's just very comforting to me, because I think when we face our mortality daily, which I just had a conversation with Jane Whitlock about that, it's sort of like we need to have a daily death practice so that we can truly live, you know? So.
Yeah. And, you know, and not fearing what's on the other side, you know, I firmly, I'm not knocking anyone's belief, but I firmly don't believe there's an angry old man in the sky.
No. No.
Judging everything people say or do.
No,
what,
no.
Where.
No.
That's all man-made crap.
Yeah, it's trying to keep us in line. Scare us into behaving. I don't buy it either. Well, Jeff Classic Popka, this has been an absolute pleasure. I wish you nothing but the best with your new podcast. What's it going to be called? Do you have a name yet?
In Tune Paranormal.
In Tune Paranormal. And coming to, I'm certain, many channels very soon, and I'll continue to help you. I can certainly get you some guests if you want, you know, just because we have a little crossover. I don't do a ton of paranormal, but, you know, I don't care. I'll talk to anybody about anything. I'm just fascinated with what's next and how that relates to what is our now. So thanks so much for being on the show. Any closing ideas or thoughts you want to share before we sign off?
Not really. I mean, you know, you're doing a great thing because you're bringing this other viewpoint to people. And I think if people just, everyone just slows down and really observes, they'll feel the energies as well. And you're doing a good thing bringing that to people. You're taking something that's scary to most people and making it very normal.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Jeff Classic Popka, thank you so much for being on The Next Room.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.